From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday, happy Monday, happy Monday. I know it's hard for a lot of you, you know, Michigan sports fans out there to crack a smile, seeing as though, I mean, a lot didn't go well this weekend. Let's just be frank and honest with it, okay? The Lions, tough loss against the Bills. The Tigers, yes, their season comes to an end after getting swept by the Baltimore Orioles. Michigan continues to just not get it done on the football field. And I don't know, I guess Spartan fans can smile. MSU fans can smile. They get a big win over Nebraska to open Big Ten play. But, man, other than that, not much to crack a smile about, folks. We'll try to recap that and so much more on today's show. Our phone lines will be open. And, again, the number to call is 517-355-9527. But before we do get to all of that, here is Jock DeWitt with your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, October 6th.
I'm Jack DeWitt, and this is your current sports quick hit headliners for Monday, October 6th. The Tigers fell to the Orioles 2-1 in Game 3, capping a sweep by Baltimore. The Tigers sent the last three Cy Young Award winners up against them, but the bullpen blew the first two games at Camden Yards. The Orioles will play the Kansas City Royals in the ALCS. The Detroit Lions blew a 14-0 lead to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, in a game that saw Lions kicker Alex Henry miss three field goals. Lions are tied with the Green Bay Packers at the top of the NFC North. They will take on the Minnesota Vikings at 1 p.m. this Sunday. Spartan football moved to 4-1 on the season after they held off the Cornhuskers 27-22. Junior cornerback Trey Waynes had the game-sealing interception. The Spartans traveled to West Lafayette this Saturday to take on the Purdue Boilermakers. The Wolverines lost their third straight game, falling to the Scarlet Knights 26-24. Kicker Matt Weil had his go-ahead 56-yard field goal attempt blocked with 3 minutes and 1 second left to go. The Wolverines are now 2-4 on the season. The Fighting Irish defeated the Stanford Cardinal 17-14 on a 4th-and-11 touchdown pass by Everett Golson to tight end Ben Koyak from the Stanford 23-yard line. The Irish remained undefeated on the season, moving to 5-0. They will take on the North Carolina Tar Heels next Saturday at Notre Dame Stadium. The Kansas City Royals are also in the ALCS after sweeping the Los Angeles Angels with a score of 8-3 in the final game. Division III power number 2 DeWitt rallies to beat number 5 St. John 16-10. Despite missing starting quarterback Jake Johnson, who was out with a concussion, Panthers leaned on Chase McPhee. The Red Wings scored all of their 10 points in the first quarter, keyed by a 94-yard Blake Stewart touchdown run. DeWitt fought back to score 16 unanswered points, capped by a touchdown drive late in the fourth quarter. DeWitt moves to 6-0 on the year, and St. John falls to 5-1. 11 teams in the AP poll fell this weekend, including 4 in the top 6. According to ESPN, the last time that many teams in the top 6 fell in 1 week was 1990, when number 1 Virginia, number 3 Nebraska, number 4 Auburn, and number 5 Illinois all lost. The biggest mover was TCU. After their 37-33 win over Oklahoma, the Horned Frogs jumped up 16 spots from number 25 to number 9. NBA extends television contracts with ESPN and TNT for the next 9 years. The New York Times reports the deal to be about $2.5 billion and will increase ESPN's television, audio, data, digital highlights, and international NBA rights. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's send it back to Al Martin in the studio.
Jack, thanks a lot, my man. Appreciate that. Again, that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We have a few, actually three, extended headliners to bring you as well. Yeah, Alex Henry, the man who just couldn't buy a field goal yesterday. He has been now officially cut. And Jay Feely is supposed to be working out with the Lions tomorrow. So there's some positive news for you Lions fans. Derek Green is reportedly out for the season for Michigan football. And Florida backup QB Treyon Harris is being investigated for robbery. Interesting stuff there. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in on anything we talk about today, 517-355-9527. Don't forget we are also on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. You can also tweet us either at my official Twitter handle of Al Martin, at Al Martin, WKR, or the Current Sports official Twitter handle of WKAR_sports. Okay, you can, if your phone's shy and don't want to hear your voice over the air or don't want to be on live with us, you can leave a comment at Facebook or by tweeting us there. Oh, boy, but so much to talk about. We're going to try to cram in as much as we can like we do each and every Wednesday. Or excuse me, Monday. I'm already thinking about Wednesday right now. Each and every Monday here on Current Sports, we'll talk some Lions. We'll talk Tigers. We'll bring you our weekend winners. Even give you a few power rankings in the NFL. All of that and so much more. But first, we're going to go to college land, college football land, and talk a little MSU football and Michigan football. I now invite me, invite on the show Alex Sharg. Alex, how you doing?
Depressing, isn't it, Al? Depressing. That's how I'm doing. It's just depressing. And yesterday, it was a great day. Had the day off. We didn't have to work. It's a Sunday. And I just couldn't stay positive, man. And always when I come
it's
on
hard.
There, you know, we both are very happy to be here. Always pleasant. It's another day with sports, but that just shook you and grabbed the heart and took it right out of you.
Yeah, for Tigers fans out there,
Everything.
Lions.
I mean, you even got a feel for Michigan.
Do you feel for Michigan at all?
I really do. That's a tough time they have right now.
It is. It is a very tough time.
I'd say that this season is probably worse than when they had that dead era.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Transition.
I think, without a doubt, I said it before, Michigan has hit rock bottom. You know, I've never seen this program in the state that it is right now. I've never seen it before. And we're going to talk about that in just a sec. But let's start off positive,
though.
Let's
do it.
Let's start off with a smile on our face and talk a little MSU football,
but
okay?
You know what? Even they didn't even have a smile
You got to kind of take that with a grain of salt because with the way that game ended, I mean, it didn't have a lot of Spartan fans smiling, okay? But nonetheless, a win is a win. Michigan State football got, they started Big Ten play with a win over Nebraska on prime time underneath the lights. Nonetheless, even though that game, I mean, Michigan State, they kind of fell asleep. They kind of fell asleep at the wheel as that one ensued. Hey, a W is a W. And, you know, first off, before we dive into it, here's what, some of the players and what Coach D'Antonio had to say about squeaking out that win over the Cornhuskers.
A win's a win no matter how you cut it, if it's pretty, if it's ugly. I think we're all pretty thankful to walk away from this game winners. But like I said, if it's a blowout, if it's a tight game, whatever, you know, we were up early and then they came back.
You know, we won the football game on defense. Let's just call it what it is. And that's a good thing to have happen to us right now because we can be a complete football team. And so I told our football team at halftime, hey, we've been there. You know, we are the defending Rose Bowl champions. We are the defending Big Ten champions, at least through this season. And we've been there. We played in big games. Rise up.
Was there any sense of complacency as that game went on today?
I wouldn't say it was complacency. I would just say guys missed out on plays, including myself, late in the game.
I don't know if it was complacency. I just, you know, we kind of laid back a little bit, you know. But in the end, you know, we went out there and we finished. And, like I said, we just got to learn to play 60 minutes.
There's one thing to not get too comfortable. Once you get a lead and stuff like that, you know, you start to feel comfortable and you kind of let your guard down. I don't know about some of you guys, but I think that kind of happened with me a little bit. You know, after Tony had that one touchdown, I was like, all right, you know, this is pretty much in the bag, and they made a comeback. So a lesson to be learned for me as a player is to never be comfortable, to keep piling up the points, and just go out there no matter, you know, what series it is. Every time you're out there on the field, just have that tenacity, have that that attitude that you got to put the ball in the end zone every single time.
I'm just glad I'm not sitting here talking about how it slipped away. So we're blessed for that. But, I do think you develop an identity, who you are, how you play, how you finish. And somehow, some way, we finished. And our guys were more ticked off than than unconfident or lacking effort. You know, so it didn't go that way. It was hey, we just had to get it done. So we found a way to get it done. Offensively, we did take, time off the clock. We missed a field goal at the end of the game, which is uncharacteristic. So things happen.
Yeah, so that was Connor Cook, head coach Mark D'Antonio, Curtis Drummond, and Riley Bulla, and their thoughts after that win over Nebraska. You know, it was really, for me, Alex, an interesting mood after that game because, Michigan State clearly had the game in hand throughout 90.1% of it. And then all of a sudden, Nebraska starts to make a run, and they go on this incredible run and really had an opportunity to sort of salvage all type of momentum as that one dwindled down. But Michigan State squeaks it out nonetheless. Interception by Trey Wans sort of sealed the deal and put the stamp on the win. But first, I guess I can start on the positive here. The defense, for me, played great. I thought the defense was outstanding. They held Nebraska to under 100 yards in the first half alone. How about that defensive line? You know, really one of the big storylines coming into that game was really how Michigan State will be able to contain or try to contain Heisman Trophy candidate Amir Abdullah. They did that and then some on Saturday, Alex. Amir really couldn't get anything going. If you look at Amir's production, I mean, he had only 23 yards at halftime alone. I mean, that was truly remarkable. I mean, Shalik Calhoun, he was flying everywhere, had that big fumble recovery and looked almost like a running back taking it to the end zone almost as he was flagged down. But still, great game from him. How about, Marcus Rush? I thought he had also a big game, probably the best game that we've seen from Michigan State linebackers as a whole. Tommy Armstrong Jr., he was sacked five times throughout that entire game. Defense was solid, and it was really surprising to me because, coming into it, Michigan State was an 8.5-point favorite, according to Vegas odds. Michigan State, I mean, I was not expecting Michigan State to sort of run away with that game so early, and I thought Amir Abdullah would have a big game, but hey, Michigan State's defensive line was spectacular, and those linebackers, they were swarming everywhere, Alex. What are your thoughts on the defense?
Yeah, definitely the defense did really good containing Abdullah on the outside. I talked about that last week, that with Calhoun and Rush and then the linebacker stepping up, I thought Tywan Jones, Ed Davis did a really good job penetrating the outside, fighting through those blockers, and even those big 300-pound Olgies, like we were talking about, those guards, they did a really good job getting around them. So overall, what I liked was specifically the linebacker play and then Shalik Calhoun and Rush on the outside.
Now, as far as
the defense went towards the end of the game, when Nebraska was coming back, and we'll talk more about this in a second, but man, to see that players were that bummed about the students leaving and that
students were there, definitely.
Too bad, but
we'll get to that.
I mean, you got to give also Nebraska some credit. I mean, the throws they made, the catches they made, diving catches on the sidelines. I mean, there was as good as coverage as you can get from Trey Wans on those plays.
Yeah, I thought Trey was great. I mean, he had two interceptions. The first one I thought was nice. And then the one to seal the game, to put the stamp on it, it said a lot about him. I mean, Trey had an overall solid
the
game.
The first one, he was miming the receiver. He was that close on him.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Offensively, though, Connor Cook, Connor, after the game in the presser, said that he felt as though the offense took steps, maybe two steps back. He feels that the defense took about five steps forward, and the offense did, the exact opposite. Overall, though, he went 11 for 29, 234 yards, a touchdown, one interception. He hooked up with Lippitt again for another touchdown. Him and Tony have been just making sweet string music this entire season so far. And, for me, looking at Cook's overall play, I thought he had a decent game. Could he have played better? Yeah, I thought he could have played better. But, I think the problem was just trying to establish rhythm for that MSU offense throughout an entire game. And you got to credit the Nebraska defense for that because they did a good job of disrupting and throwing out a lot of different schemes that MSU offense seemed a bit confused on. Overall, though, Cook didn't play terrible. He didn't play outstanding. He played a solid game overall for me. How about Jeremy Langford? 111 yards, 29 carries, one touchdown. He's really stringing together a series of games now where he's had at least 100 yards. I thought he played solid. But, again, looking at how that game dwindled down, when you just heard from the players, folks, complacency for me, I think that seemed to settle in. I mean, you just heard from Cook. They felt as though they had a big lead. You know, they had a solid lead. This one's really in the bag here. And they let their guard down. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. It's something that I'm sure D'Antonio will address. And he did address it in the presser as well. I mean, he said, hey, you know, we're blessed that we didn't let that one slip away.
Right.
The game of football, he kept saying the game of football is a funny game. It's a strange game sometimes. You have to be, you know, and Riley talked about playing, you know, a solid 60 minutes. That has to happen for this football team. And, you know, when you talk about other teams and other opponents as the season goes on, especially as you try to make headway for that four-team playoff, you cannot have lapses like that. So complacency can't be a hallmark of this team moving forward, Alex.
Yeah, and especially with the point spread. I mean, as much as you play to win the game, the point spread definitely had a big impact on where they're placed and if they will ever make the four-team playoff, as unfortunate as that may seem. I mean, now with TCU jumping 16 spots, I mean, Alabama still ahead of Michigan State as the only one-loss team. They still have a lot to fight off if they want to make that playoff.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I mean, it was great that all those upsets happened this week.
Right.
I mean, it definitely voted in the favor of Michigan State. All of those upsets happening with Alabama and Oklahoma and, you know, Oregon, that boded well for Michigan State, seeing as though they moved up a little bit in the poll. So, you know, it's a crazy college football year right now. It's still early, so, as far as Michigan State making a 14 playoff, who really knows? You know, after that Oregon game and seeing as though how that weekend overall for the Big Ten did not go well, hey, I was one of the guys really condemning the Big Ten and still am questionable whether or not the Big Ten will have a representative at that 14 playoff. I'm still skeptical, but I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, things change week to week to week in college football. It's a funny sport. It's one of the only sports, in my opinion, where the regular season is really more intriguing sometimes in the postseason because so much can happen as far as who makes that, you know, who makes it deep into the postseason as the year ends. So Michigan State, their chances are still looking pretty well right now. It's just all about racking up wins at this point for this team. But looking at the overall body of work from Michigan State on Saturday, I thought it was solid. I was very impressed by that defense, and they showed some signs that, yeah, you know, they still are one of the best in the nation, without a doubt.
Yeah, good signs all around, and I hate to say it, but the next task and the best team in the Big Ten after Michigan State, it might be Ohio State, in my opinion. Now, I think that might be
it seems as though, the team. Yeah, it really seems as though Ohio State is getting better week by week by week now. You know, I really feel that. You know, and that speaks volumes about the coaching there. You know, Urban Meyer is doing a great job of keeping his team focused. And, you know, this team could make some noise. I think that Michigan State and Ohio State game is going to have more intrigue than we thought it would have, you know, on the brink of this year, seeing as though, of course, Braxton Miller went out. There were many people saying, okay, Ohio State's completely done. So that game certainly has a lot of intrigue, to say the least. But, you know, as the season moves on now, Michigan State now will take on Purdue on the road this Saturday at 3:30 on ABC. So that should be an interesting game. But overall, as a Michigan State fan, you got to feel pretty good about where this team is. Now, switching gears a little bit. I know you just brought it up a minute ago. The student section. Well, Alex, it's really been a story that I did not think was going to put on a lot of traction, as much traction as it has. I went to ESPN.com maybe about an hour or two before we took the air today. This story was the third story on the ESPN headliners. Can you believe that? The third story, it baffled me. Maybe it's a slow day in sports. I have no idea. But D'Antonio was asked after the game if he was displeased at all by the number of Spartan students who decided to leave the game early on the primetime stage. He was not happy about it. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I was.
Elaborate any more? Or that?
Probably shouldn't. You know, I was disappointed. I guess I can't help myself, like my wife says. But, yeah, I think you should. I mean, it's a great football game. You don't call for them often. I don't call for the fans many times. You know, we needed it to be loud there. And, it's a big football game. And, you know, it got a little empty there at the end. But I guess it's Saturday night.
You know the difference of, you know, 75,000 fans to, you know, maybe 20,000 fans. You can feel the difference, and not only that, but you can hear it. You know, it was a different atmosphere at the beginning of the game towards the end. And, you know, we did want the students to stay to the end because they give us motivation. You know, it's not just our offense. The student section does a great job of, you know, pumping us up, getting us hype. And, you know, we always look towards them when a big play is made. You know, look at them like, are you guys satisfied? Is that what you guys wanted? So, you know, to see that student section decrease so drastically, it did hurt a little bit. But, you know, like I said, we still got to play our game. We can't let that alter us. Stay till the end, please. We need you. We need you.
Well, yeah, you just heard the plea. That's from defensive end Shalik Calhoun, and prior to him, head coach Mark D'Antonio addressing the Michigan State student section leaving early before the end of the Michigan State-Nebraska game on Saturday night. Interesting stuff. And even, you know, looking here, Mark Hollis actually has also decided to weigh in on this. I don't know if you saw a series of tweets, Alex, but Mark Hollis issued a series of about six or so tweets addressing the student section and saying that, hey, if you don't stay until the end of the game, hey, we may find other people who want to take those seats. So yeah, it's kind of a threat, you know, to the student section right now.
Yeah, but what can they do, honestly? I mean, what are they going to do?
But first off,
get two sets of tickets? Are they going to double book tickets? I mean, the Big House used to do that.
Yeah, but first off, Alex, I got to ask this. Do you really think this is a big deal?
I think it is, man. If you're hearing the coaches and the players say that, and Shalik saying it's different from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, it obviously had some effect on them.
I honestly have to take the other side of this thing. I don't think it's a big deal, Alex. I just do not see this being a big deal. Let me just paint the scenario. Okay, you and I were students. Let's say we're not in the media. We just go to the game just to enjoy the game, right? Okay, let's just rewind our mindset into when we went to college. Okay. So we're students. We got season tickets. We're going to the game, right? MSU-Nebraska, rah-rah, here we go. We go to the game. It's about 40 degrees outside.
Not that cold.
Hold on, Alex. Hold on now.
We're in Michigan.
I shot that entire game on Saturday. And let me tell you, I was out there. I had my North Face jacket that I'm rocking right now. Had a jacket on top of that. Underneath all of that, I had two T-shirts on. I had to have gloves because my hands were freezing. I had a hat on. And still, my legs were numb as that game dwindled down. I mean, I was freezing. And other media members and even fans can echo those same sentiments. So, first of all, the conditions aren't great.
Well, keep in mind that it's colder when it's 70 degrees the week before, and then there's that transition.
Exactly. It even makes it worse. It's amplified because of that just in a week's time span, it goes from 80 degrees to 40 degrees.
But ideally, but anyway, if we're in the winter, it's not that cold.
But Alex, it was cold out there, point blank period. It is cold, freezing out there on Saturday,
so
okay?
So have you. Go.
So we go to the student section, and, you know, we're sitting there watching the game. The conditions aren't great. It's coming down, raining. Michigan State has the game in hand. The game is pretty much done. If, you know, through about 80% of the game, nobody's fathoming that Nebraska is going to come back, score, 19 points in the fourth quarter and make this thing a barn burner with about minutes left in the game.
Well, it's a long game, Alex. It's not like they were up many points.
But, Alex, okay, as a student here, this is the mindset of a student. Mm-hmm. I'm going to this game. Michigan State is clearly winning this game. They're probably going to close it out here. It's a Saturday night, for goodness sake. The student mindset is, it's Saturday night, Michigan State has won this game, I'm going to go to Rick's or Dublin and party it up. That's the mindset that these students have. So to leave a game early when you think they got it in the bag, can you really blame the student section for leaving?
Well, at the same time, there are 45, 50,000 students here, Al, and you're talking to that, 10,000 students, 5,000 students that left? I don't know what the number is, but there are plenty of other students at that school that I'm sure would be able to stay for most of the game.
Yeah, but at the same time, can you really bash the students who left?
Absolutely,
no,
I could.
No, not at all. Not at all. I feel where they're coming from. Honestly, if I was at that game, I got to be honest with you. If I was at that game and had tickets, I'm sitting there and my boy's like, man, it's kind of cold out here. Michigan State looks like they got the game. I'm going to leave early.
Al, the Big House student section had more students when they were losing to horrible teams than Michigan State did.
How many times have we seen them on the primetime stage? This has happened to other schools.
Don't
there's
you
been plenty
leave
of times,
when you're losing?
There's been plenty of times where I've been watching a game where it's a complete blowout, and you look at the student section, and student sections have left because they think they got the game in the bag. This has happened before. This happens at
sure.
This isn't just a Michigan State problem here. Even
right.
if it's a problem in the first place, I disagree. I don't even think it's a problem. I want to read a comment here. We have again, folks, if you want to weigh in on this, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at Al Martin WKR, or at WKAR_sports. I want to read, we have a comment here coming from Dr. Smooth on our Facebook page. He says that, quote, "The problem with the student section extends beyond this past weekend. Outside of the Michigan game last year, I can't recall a time in the last 2 years when the student section was full. For a team that has won 11 straight at home, been in the top 10 of the AP poll at least once in the last 4 years, and not to mention the reigning Big Ten and Rose Bowl champions, this is disgraceful. MSU doesn't have a problem with selling tickets. They have a problem with people buying tickets and then not showing up. What possible reason could students have for spending $175 on tickets and then going to the games or staying the whole time?" And he goes on and on, and I won't read the whole thing, but you get the gist of it there. You get the message right there. I see where Dr. Smooth is coming from. By the way, Smooth name. I like that name. But at the end of the day, you got the game in the bag. If I am a student and it is freezing cold outside and I think my team is about to pull this game out, and by the way, this is a big factor to it too. Understand, you know, you want them to stay the whole game. It's a Saturday night. What did you and I used to do on Saturday nights as students, Alex?
Hey, if my team was winning and I want to see some of the good players, I would stay for that
Alex,
game, honestly.
Alex, I understand. Okay. Alex, I'm going to ask again. As a student, what did you used to do on Saturday nights?
Hang out with friends.
Thank
go
you.
Go out.
You know, talk to the girls, hit the bar. That's what we used to do as students. If it's a Saturday night and the weather is terrible and the game is a wrap, or at least we think it's a wrap, hey, I don't blame you for leaving, okay? Don't blame you at all. We have a caller online one time from Grand Rapids. You're on Current Sports. How you doing, my man?
Al, I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well, very well.
All right, here's the deal from someone who sat there the whole time, and I'm not a student. I'm an old fart, okay?
Gotcha.
But if you're going to try to keep the kids there when the game's like that, then you better make it fun for them to be there. And fun isn't watching Nick Hill run into the middle of the line three plays and punt.
Right, right.
I mean, this is, you know, aside from the kid thing, in all seriousness, this taking the air out of the football thing, that's part of the dilemma. Who doesn't know that that's what we're going to do?
Yeah, exactly. No, and I agree. That's another point I want to make when talking about this game, period, because, you know, as time dwindled down, I mean, Michigan State thinking they have it in the bag. I mean, D'Antonio talked about it, too. Yeah, they were trying to run off clock. You know, Michigan, you know, D'Antonio said, hey, let's run the ball here. And who wants to see that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And then there's other games going on TV that you want to go catch the end of or what have you. I mean, I don't know. Almost like, are you kidding me? After the game, there was a bigger issue about the students not being there than us having John L. Smith flashbacks happen before our eyes.
Exactly. That's a very good point. Very good point.
I as far as running, if you are going to run the ball like that, no knock against Nick Hill. I hate using kids' names. He's a great kid from all I hear, and fifth year and all that. But that just appears to be blind loyalty to me, of running a kid that size into the middle of the line between the tackles, play after play after play.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. Good take on that. Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate the call. Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I mean, let's be honest here. Up until when Nebraska started making their run here, wasn't it kind of a ho-hum game,
Al,
Alex?
But here's
that was
the
a ho-hum game.
I hear where Tom is coming from, where you want to make it exciting for the students that are there late. But when you're up 27-3,
there's
much
nothing
more
exciting about that. Well, exactly.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
You can do, you know, wide receiver throws. You can do some trickery. I see that. They did run the double reverse.
But D'Antonio's not trying to please the fans here. And I see where Tom is going, too. But D'Antonio's in the business of winning here. So, I mean, there's nothing exciting about a 27-3 game. As a student, Saturday night, I don't blame them for leaving. That's all I'm saying here. It's going to be very hard in a blowout game to keep students at the late stretch, to keep them in their seats if a game is going that way, coupled with the weather. I mean, I don't blame it. So I'm not bashing the fans here. I totally feel where they're coming from here, period. If you disagree, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, you can tweet us at Al Martin, WKR, or at WKR underscore sports, or even go to our Facebook page, as Dr. Smoove did, at facebook.com/currentsports. Let's hit the break. When we come back, we got to talk about Michigan. Yeah, oh, it just gets worse and worse week to week, folks. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. She said it's cold outside and she hands me a raincoat. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in on anything we talk about, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I have to remind you all about Current Sports TV. We are back at it this Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with one of the more highly touted recruits in high school basketball from Michigan, Trevor Manuel. He's actually ranked around 42, I believe, on the ESPN list of the 2015 recruiting class. You know, he had so many schools coming at him, but he decided to take his basketball talents to Oregon. How about that? So I'll be sitting down with Trevor to pick his brain on why he made that decision, also his time playing at the famous basketball at high school at Oak Hill, and so much more. Him and his dad will join me. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience on Wednesday night at 6, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. I love seeing your smiling faces each and every Wednesday evening. All right, folks, well, let's transition, and we definitely have to talk about this program. We've been doing it extensively for the past week or two now. Yes, Michigan. They fall to Rutgers on Saturday, and it just continues to get bad in Ann Arbor. I saw that, you know, minutes before we took the air, that Derek Green is officially out for the season now. So it just gets bad. It gets bad now. So to join me on this second segment of Current Sports, we have our two fantastic interns who have been just tearing it up here on the show. As you heard his voice at the top of the hour, Jock DeWitt, and also Tyler Beck joins him as well. How you doing, fellas?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you doing today?
I can't complain. How about you, Ty?
I think I might be feeling a little under the weather. Like, something's going around, Al, and I think I might have got it.
Really? What is it?
I don't know, my throat's sore, so bear with me today.
Okay, I got to keep my distance then. No, I'm joking. You're fine. I ate my Wheaties today. I've been pretty healthy. I have not gotten sick in quite some time. Knock on wood. Okay, I can afford to get sick, folks. And Alex also would join us for this discussion. But Michigan. They fall to Rutgers on Saturday. They are now 0-2 in the Big Ten. Their worst start since 1967. How about that? All right, guys. Well, we're looking at this Michigan program so far. I mean, I tell you what, especially looking at that game against Rutgers, Michigan just can't finish games. I mean, when it comes down to the clutch, they definitely had opportunities. I mean, going back to that field goal attempt that got blocked, it really sealed the win for Rutgers. I mean, my goodness. I mean, they cannot win close games, and the defense isn't helping. Looking at Michigan's defense, especially on third down against Rutgers on Saturday, Rutgers were 8 of 16 on third down, folks. Gary Nova, he went 8 of 12 for 170 yards and a touchdown, and really had a big gain on that crucial third down attempt. And again, he had 404 yards. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, this Michigan defense is not getting the job done. It is ranked against some of the worst in the entire nation, in the entire FBS. And, you know, looking at some of those plays, I mean, if you going back to Gary Nova's 404 yards through the air, he had an 80-yard wide-open TD pass, and it just looks bad right now. It looks really bad. And I want to get just overall, first off, to start discussion, just your overall analysis of what's going wrong for Michigan on the field. Because offensively, I thought Devin Gardner had a solid game, guys.
Well, I thought that when they made the change at quarterback, that was not the problem that they had. I think that the problem actually comes with the defense and then maybe the defensive coordinator. But after you take out a fifth-year senior quarterback in favor of a sophomore, and then the sophomore goes out and not only gets hurt, But that injury was just mismanaged by the entire coaching staff. Maybe you rattle his confidence a little bit, and, you know, you rattle the rest of the team's confidence. You could divide the locker room. There's just a lot of bad things that could come out of making that change. And I think that Brady Hoke needs to own up that, you know, this is his fault because this is his team.
Yeah, that's a good take on it too. Tyler, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have to disagree with you here, Jack. I think the defense is doing everything they can. The offense just, for whatever reason, doesn't click, doesn't work. And I think Brady Hoke, to an extent, has owned up to it because he keeps having the blame put on him and the coaches. And I agree with that. And I think they have a problem with developing talent because no one argues that roster is talented. I mean, Michigan has some ballers for sure. But when one of your star players, Devin Funchess, after the game says a win is just a statistic, how much does that say about the mindset of this football team?
Yeah, and I was just about to say that says a lot as to where the Michigan heads are for this year. I mean, it's really, you know, almost, I almost feel bad for him. You know, me being a Michigan State alum, you know, of course, I mean, Michigan, it's a rivalry. But at the same time, I mean, so much is going on from the Shane Moore situation to now hearing about Derrick Green. And it's, everything seems to be piling on for this team right now. And it's getting to the point where it's not even just fun. The rivalry isn't fun. When Michigan enters green and white territory in a few weeks here, how much can you really get hyped up about that game? I mean, understand it is the rivalry at the end of the day, but still, I mean, everybody's expecting Michigan State, which probably will happen, to just blow Michigan out. But overall, though, this Michigan team, and going back to your point, Jack, about the quarterback situation, Shane Morris, him even being in that game against Minnesota, that shouldn't have happened in the first place. Devin Gardner gives this team at the quarterback position the best chance to win when he's out there. And I think he reiterated that on Saturday. I thought Devin, I mean, he did a lot of damage on the ground with his legs. You know, he had a few nice passes here and there. But overall, I thought that Devin Gardner had a solid, solid game. Tyler?
The problem with running quarterbacks is they take a lot of hits, and it's hard for them to stay healthy. But I agree with you. If you have a running quarterback, someone who can pass and throw, that's another dimension that the defense has to account for. And so whenever you have a quarterback that is effective in those two like dimensions, I think it gives you the best chance to win.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Alex, what are your thoughts on Michigan?
Yeah, I really feel for them. And I know it's hard because, you know.
So you feel for them too, so we're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah. Well, the main reason I really feel for them is there are players like Jabril Peppers, as much as he's injured now, but Derrick Green, they come here from out of state. They're promised a great, prestigious program with a lot of upside, and then they get the rock bottom part of Michigan history. If you look at their recruiting, Michigan hasn't pulled two highly touted recruits like that in years. Years. Rich Rod couldn't pull the kind of caliber of recruits that Jabril Peppers and Derrick Green were in years. I know you're going to harp on recruiting and how much it is, but those two guys are dynamic. Desmond Howard said it. He went on the air to say he has only seen Jabril Peppers have the swagger and the kind of confidence that most of the older Michigan players had under Lloyd Carr. He hasn't seen it with any other player yet. I feel for the new guys that are coming in. They're expecting this up year after three straight years of Hoke. They're expecting this to be the year, and now they're plummeting with coaching personnel changes. I feel more for the younger guys, if anything.
But for me, when looking at that, you know, when talking about recruiting, I mean, Michigan, every single year, I mean, they have some of the best recruits in the entire nation. They are a prestigious program, the winningest college football program in all in
well,
the entire
not
sport.
Really. If you look at Rich Rodriguez,
but,
they only got the recruits that fit his system. They
yeah, but,
weren't
but I'm
the
talking
most
about
high profile.
The Brady Hoke era. I mean, hey, I mean, he's done a pretty solid
he's
job.
Done a solid
he's
job.
Done a pretty solid job as far as recruiting goes. But I think that speaks volumes as to the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff is failing here because when you have some of the top recruits in the entire nation, your job as a coaching staff is to harbor that talent and develop these players. They haven't been doing that. They've been dropping the ball in that area. You not only have to do your job recruiting-wise, but once these players get to that program, you have to develop them. Hoke has dropped the ball totally in that regard. Now, I want to bring this question to all three of you guys. When looking at this whole situation now, of course, you got to win six to be bowl eligible. For me, when looking at the rest of the schedule for Michigan, I'm chalking up losses to Ohio State and Michigan State automatically. Now, they have two wins so far right now. 0-2 in the Big Ten, but they have two wins so far for the season. You look at Penn State, you look at Indiana, you look at Northwestern, and you look at Maryland. They have to pretty much run the table against those teams. Yeah. If you think that Michigan State and Ohio State are going to beat Michigan, they have to run the table.
And how many of those games are at home?
looking at it, you got Penn State at home, you got Indiana at home, and you got Maryland at home. So you play Northwestern.
It's doable now.
On the road.
Three home games out of the four.
Do you really think so? Do you think they can beat Penn State, Indiana, Northwestern, and Maryland?
Hey, as much as they lost, the Big House is a very tough place to play.
Look at this Michigan team so far, Alex.
I agree.
I mean, look at it. They've been terrible. They've been horrid.
It's not impossible.
What it is for me?
The way Devin Gardner played, he showed some signs.
Yeah, but this defense. How can you win with that defense, Alex? There's Michigan has done nothing that alludes to me that they can beat Penn State, Indiana, Northwestern, and Maryland. I just don't see their bowl eligibility is on the. I don't know. It's up there for me. I don't know. Do you think they can get that done, Tyler?
I think that they will get two more wins at least going into the season because somewhere something's got to give. They're gonna overpower a team sheer talent wise at some point. Especially if you look at Indiana, Northwestern, and Maryland, who the jury's kind of out on those squads. They're not as bad as everyone thought they were, but the jury's kind of out. I think the Big House, I mean, it used to be a really good. Until the students and, all the fans started protesting on U of M's campus and were up in arms about that. I think it's going to be really hard for Michigan to get bowl eligibility at this point. If they went to Rutgers and lost, and that's indicative of the rest of their season, maybe they'll get two more wins, but at this point, I got to say no.
I got to say no as well. Jack, what about you?
Here's a stat for you. Michigan gave up 476 yards of total offense to Rutgers on Saturday. To Rutgers. Rutgers is not exactly a top-tier program in the conference.
Right.
They've got to play on the road at Ohio State and Michigan State. Like you said, that's pretty much two guaranteed losses. Penn State's been all right, and the Northwestern surprised some people so far. They're undefeated in the Big Ten. I don't see Michigan winning more than four games over the whole course of the season. Not going to happen.
It's really tough right now. Folks, we want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We actually have a caller on line one, Mike from Saginaw. You are on the Monday edition of Current Sports. How you doing, Mike?
Yep. How you doing, man? What I want to tell you before I start talking about Michigan, I don't know if you read the New York Times or not. They have an interesting story about why the Big Ten is not like the SEC and the Big Eight and the Pac-10 when it comes to recruiting. And I just think about Michigan has a lot of talent, but Michigan got a lot of Michigan kids on their team. And it's not like it's a nationwide school. They recruit nationwide, but we say about all this about Michigan talent and all the time, but Michigan, it seems like they overrate their players for a reason. What you think?
Yeah, well, that really bows into the recruiting. For me, I think that, I think that Hoke, throughout his entire time with this Michigan Wolverines football program, has done a relatively decent job recruiting-wise. Mm-hmm. And, when it comes down to it, though, I think he has done a pitiful job, a poor job, at developing these players once they enter Ann Arbor. So
it's obvious that the skill positions are good. They got good skill players like running backs and wide receivers.
Just look at Funches. Yeah, I agree.
Defensive backs and safety. The deal about Michigan is if and when they get rid of Hope, would they go out and get them a young, exciting coach, or they just go and hire one of their alumni or somebody who's really a big fundraiser? Michigan don't think about their athletic program, except when it comes to minor league sports. They act like football, you got to be able to please the alumni. Well, sometimes you got to think out of the box sometimes. That's what Michigan State is. What Michigan State going around about 5-6 years ago when they couldn't find a good football coach to keep the program stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Michigan needs to do like Texas did. Well, Texas went out and hired Charlie Strong. Just hire an assistant coach that could go out and get some players, man. Not just get the big recruit just the Big Ten areas, because even look at all the bottom feeding teams like Indiana and Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're getting better players too, and they're building up their facilities also. So
right.
Michigan
right.
is in a dogfight getting the talent, because if Northwestern really start winning year after year? Wisconsin has started doing that. Also, Iowa too.
Yeah, that's definitely a good take on it. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for the call. And I think that, when looking at it, and we talked about it last week, I forget the recruit's name, But, you know, amid this whole Shane Moore situation and how Michigan just isn't getting the job done, they had a recruit pull back last week. Am I right? I forget his name, but this has a trickle-down effect here. On the national, you know, scheme of things, if you got a recruit who's, you know, on the edge of where he wants to play football, and Michigan is one of those teams, seeing how this program is performing right now and seeing the unwarranted, well, I think it is warranted, excuse me, just how it's in shambles. I mean, this is really, it's piling on right now. If you're a recruit looking at all of this, what's taking place, hey, it's no question. It's certainly a turnout. So I'm not surprised to see the fallout from that. As far as Michigan's next coach, it has to be a guy who's going to come in and instill, first off, he's going to have a strong personality, I think. Definitely a strong personality. Coming into a program like this where you kind of, in a way, have to rebuild things, it's got to be a guy who comes in that presser and says, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to hold players accountable, and this is how we're going to do it. A Harbaugh type of personality. Now, John, of course, announced that he is not interested in the job, but they're going to need a guy with that type of clout, that type of personality to come in and take the reins once. And I'm saying it once. It's not a matter of if now. It's just a case of when Brady Holt gets fired. We have another caller. Jeff, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great, sir. Good to hear from you. Hey, listen, I've got three quick points on the students leaving the game thing, and I'll try to make them brief.
Yeah.
Number one, I've heard the people complain about the students since Saturday. I've heard people yesterday. I'm hearing people talk today. I would agree with them, except that I kind of question the motive of the people making the complaints. I don't think they have the truest motives in the complaint. I think these people want to take these students' tickets so they can have them themselves. Which is ironic for me because I believe that the student section is too large. For instance, having a student section in the upper deck, I think is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But if they take those away and put those on the market, I expect these people who are complaining now to put their money where their mouth is and buy those tickets, or else they should shut up. That's point number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, am I not correct when I heard Coach D'Antonio yesterday? He himself took his foot off the took off the gas when his off the game was in hand, so that's why they allowed Nebraska to come back?
No, you are correct. You are correct. He said, you know, once a few plays got out of hand, he said, hey, let's run the ball. Let's run the ball. Yeah.
So if Coach D'Antonio's not taking it seriously, why should the students? That's my second point.
Mm-hmm.
My third point, and I'm hoping my son's not listening because I'm not going to embarrass him too much. My son is a current senior at Michigan State with football tickets.
Right.
And the thing I've heard from him over the last 3-4 years is the way that they distribute student tickets. It's a first, you line up early, it's a first come, first serve basis, yada, yada. So technically, a fresh first semester freshman can have better seats than a fifth year senior.
Ah.
And so if I'm a junior or a senior and I don't feel like getting there, noon for an 8 o'clock game or whatever time they get there, and I'm, by the time I get to see them halfway up the aisle or, towards the top of freezing, what is my motivation for staying the entire game if it's a blowout? That's all I'm asking. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. Some interesting points made there. I mean, Tyler and Jock, I mean, you guys have, I mean, I'm not a student anymore, but is that, and I never had student tickets to go to the games. Can you guys talk about how the student section tickets work? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's general admission, but I got to tell you, I mean, I've gone to games that were pretty full, and I was there, I don't know, 20 minutes, half hour before kickoff, and I still got really good seats because that student section extends to about the 25-yard line.
Right.
So you can be 50 rows up. You're on the 25-yard line. Those are still some pretty good seats.
So that's how it works. I mean, it's a first-come, first-served basis then when it comes to those tickets then.
Yeah.
And the Izzone is different, though, right? Because the Izzone, I mean, if you have had years, because I had season tickets freshman year at Michigan State, and the way it worked was, I mean, if you were a first-time Izzo member, you sat up in the upper bowl, and if you were, yearly into it, then you sat down, right? Am I right, Jack?
Yeah, that's how it worked for me last year. I bought tickets. It was my first year at school here, but I was technically a junior, and I ended up sitting in the upper bowl most of the games, even though I'd get there 4 hours early to try to get lower bowl because those first, 100 or 200 or so people, they usually get lower bowl because all those lower bowl priority students, they don't show up early enough. So that's usually what happens. But
interesting take then. Jeff, I mean, I think he hit it right on the head. Yeah. That's interesting stuff. All right, we have another caller, Apachu. Apachu, how you doing, my man? Do we have him? We got Apachu? There he is. Apachu, what's going on? Oh, we don't have him. We do not have Apache. Apache called back. I know Apache always has some great takes. In the meantime, let's hit the break, Alex. So much to talk about, so little time. We have about 10 minutes left. We got to get to Lions and Tigers in 10 minutes. We'll make it brief, but hey, stick around because you don't want to miss it. Current Sports returns in the blink of an eye. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, hopefully you are having a productive one as you begin your week. Alex likes to call it Martis Monday, where he plays music from a particular artist, one particular artist throughout the entire show. Catch is that artist has to start with the letter M. That's why we call it Martis Monday, I believe. What's today, Alex?
Today we have Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20. I don't know much about Matchbox 20, but hey. You know, hey, we're diverse here on the show. All right, well, about 10 minutes left in the show. Again, some interesting takes. You know, I really thought Jeff made an interesting point, our last caller, because I kind of feel him on that. I mean, why is the student section extended into the upper deck? I mean, I just don't get that.
Well, I think it's stupid, first of all, just to be frank with you. I mean, I'm not going to hide any emotions, but you've got people that go to the games, they stay for half the game, and then, let's go do something else. I haven't missed a game, whether it be on TV or going, in about 5 years, and no matter what the score is, I'm not leaving early because there's no reason to leave early. Like, what else is so important that it's not going to be there when you get done? You know what I mean?
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Yeah, I thought that was a very insightful call by Jeff. Again, folks, if you want to weigh in, we have about 8 minutes left, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's try to get to these relatively quickly, if that's even possible. But the Lions and Bills, let's start with the Lions first. The Lions play a 14-0 lead to the Buffalo Bills in a game that saw Lions kicker Alex Henry miss not one, not two, but three. Yes, three field goals, folks. I can't believe that. The Lions are tied with Green Bay at the top of the NFC North. They will take on the Vikings at 1 p.m. this Sunday. But to analyze yesterday's game, I tell you what. Starting with the positive, I always like to start off positive here. The defense. Defense, I thought, played relatively well. They had 2 sacks, 9 hits on Kyle Orton. But I tell you what, Orton, he shook him off very well. I mean, considering the fact that now I believe Orton's, what, 5-0 against the Lions now? I mean, he's really owned the Lions, you know, throughout his entire career. But the defense played solid. I thought Ndamukong Suh had a great game. They got a lot of push off that defensive line. Defense has continued to impress and continued to be amongst the top, you know, in the NFL. Offense, though. Let's talk about the offense, folks. I thought Matthew Stafford certainly could have played better. You know, I think he went, you know, 18 of 31 for 221 yards. Kyle Orton, to be frank with you guys, Kyle Orton outplayed Matthew Stafford, period. Stafford ate a lot of grass, though. He was sacked a season high 6 times. Where in the world would this offense be, considering that Calvin Johnson has not been a part of this offense for the past 2 weeks now with injury problems? Golden Tate has been great. I mean, he had some clutch catches, some big gains on Sunday. Very, very impressive. He's got some great hands. I believe the announcer actually compared him to Hines Ward. I can see that comparison because he's got the same size, same build. He's got great hands. You're usually not getting him down with that first tackle. I love Golden Tate. He's great. Now, hey, my fantasy team loves him too. But that offense has to play better. Matthew Stafford has to play better for this team. And again, last but not least, the kicking situation with the Lions. I mean, it's so ironic because looking in the past for this Lions team, they've always had a great kicker and a suspect team. Now is the total opposite. They have a solid team, great team, but a suspect kicker. It's unbelievable to me. Alex Henry misses 3 field goals on Sunday. Jack, you were telling me before, and it was in our headliners, they've actually cut Alex Henry and are now working out Jay Feely, Michigan alum Jay Feely, tomorrow during practice. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Also working out former Bronco kicker Matt Prater, as well as Connor Barth, who I believe kicked for the Buccaneers.
So those three will be working out with the Lions this
week. Yeah, and obviously they cut Henry, so they had to sign one of them. But I think it's going to be Prater. You know, he's serving suspension earlier this season, but he is probably the best guy, the best option. You know, the dude has a great leg, and he's kicking in a dome, so you don't have to worry about wind, which that's always a good thing.
But, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so alarming. Tyler, you got to take on the Lions, man. I mean, how disappointed it is to see this team, You know, they, I mean, they should have won this game. There's no excuse for this. If you look at it, you know, if Henry doesn't miss those three field goals, we're talking about an entirely different story here. I think we're talking about an entire different storyline, to be honest with you guys, because, you know, I believe if the Lions would have won that game against the Bills, I probably would be on the show probably praising Matthew Stafford and, you know, for his play on Sunday. I feel as though I would have had a totally different take on it, but considering the fact that they lost the game to, yes, Jim Schwartz, former head coach of the Detroit Lions, and seeing how he was carried off the field, a moment which he actually staged, carried off the field after beating the Lions. I mean, first of all, how unclassy is that guy? I mean, I'm not a Jim Schwartz fan. I don't know if you guys are, but I don't know. Jim Schwartz, it just kind of just got rubbed in the face a little bit more for Lions fans out there, seeing as though it was him that came out with that victory. Tyler, what are your thoughts on the Lions?
I mean, it's unfortunate when you have the special teams bringing down the rest of the team. And we've talked about the offensive struggle, sure, but they played well enough to win on offense. But when you put your field goal kicker in position to kick three goals and he can't convert one of them.
Not one.
He converts one, this could definitely be a different game. He converts two, it's over.
Yeah.
And your defense is certainly getting the job done. I mean, if you're scoring touchdowns on defense, it's unfortunate when you have the special teams, which is often the forgotten part of football, but nevertheless, it's really important, bringing down the rest of the squad.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, it's one of those things. I think the Lions will kind of brush this off. I think the leadership, I think this year, Caldwell seemed very even keel. I watched a little bit of the presser yesterday after the game. Caldwell, I mean, he approached the podium, says, hey, you know, stuff happens, you know, we're not going to get, you know, too down about this. We're going to move on to the next game. I Caldwell is the right guy to lead this team, I think. And also, I just think this Lions team, they can't let this bother them, because this is one of those moments where, you know, you can, if you think about it too much, and if you think about this kicking situation and focus on it too much, that can become a sideshow. Something that the Lions don't need this distraction at the beginning of the year. Hopefully, you know, one of these three kickers, you know, pan out, and you know, whoever's name, you know, this Sunday is going to have a little bit of, you know, a spotlight on them, considering, you know, how bad these kickers have been so far this season. But I think, nonetheless, the Lions will be fine. This is kind of a bump in the road for him. And hopefully, hey, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, get healthy, man, because that offense is certainly missing him. The Tigers, 3 minutes left. Oh, boy. Are you guys really surprised about the Tigers? I will say this. I am surprised that the Tigers were swept, but I'm not surprised that the Tigers lost this series. I'm not shocked at all. I just feel as though, right now, you cannot expect to win a World Series with a suspect bullpen and a defense that ranks among the worst in the league. I just, that's not the recipe to success. I felt as though Brad Ausmus and this Tigers team felt as though starting pitching and quality at-bats from, you know, the I call them the big three now, JD, V-Mart, and Miggy, they felt as though that was enough. That formula was enough to win a World Series, which sadly, certainly wasn't the case. Alex, what were your thoughts on the Tigers this year, and are you shocked at all?
Yeah, pretty shocked. I mean, the one part that I was most shocked about in that series, I guess maybe it was more last game, was the incredible amount of like luck that was involved with so many different plays. I mean, even the first game with the Romine error, you're talking about the dinger that Nelson Cruz hit last game to make it 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, even yesterday. I mean, did you see smack he had yesterday?
He admitted it. He thought it was a foul ball. He didn't even think it was going to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, aside the bullpen troubles alone, and next year, that's a whole other discussion for tomorrow, but just there's so many luck and intangibles to baseball. It just didn't fall their way, honestly.
But I don't want to harp on luck too much here, because I think Brad Austin's made some terrible managerial decisions throughout that series.
I'm sure it's an all-day topic tomorrow.
And also, I felt as though those bats, you know, went cold again. You can't go cold an entire game and expecting the ninth to be a hero and to salvage the entire game. I don't know. I got a lot of thoughts on this, folks. Tune into tomorrow's Current Sports to hear all about it. But, hey, thanks to all of you who called in and weighed in and listened to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Monday. And as always, be easy, people.